Morning, church. Does anybody know what season this is? I mean, besides cold. Yeah. Although we're not nearly as cold as some of my friends up in Montana, suffering at 15 to 20 below zero. Yeah. They're chilled out. So, well, we're going to raise praise to our Lord and raise the temperature here and invite him to come and be with us this morning. So, Father God, we do gather together in your name, Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for allowing us to call ourselves by your name. We are Christians. And Lord, this is the season that we celebrate your birth, that precious gift that the Father gave to the human race, to the world. So Lord, come help us celebrate this morning. Walk amongst us. Give each one a hug as we give one back to you. And we thank you so much for being here. We pray this in Jesus' name.
How about we all stand for the opening scripture? We are going to be reading from, or speaking, saying out loud, Jeremiah 17:7 and Romans 8:14 from the Amplified Version. Most blessed is the man and woman who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. And all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Light of the world, you stepped down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see. Beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. So highly exalted, glorious in heaven above. Humbly you came to the earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. Lord, we worship you. And here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely. just want to stop on that and let it just go into what we just sang and how we're worshiping that King that came down so humbly for each one of us. And let's just worship Him with our heart right now. No music. Just whatever is in your heart. Lord, I worship You as my King. Lord, I worship You for coming down for me. Lord, I worship You because You are glorious. I worship You, Lord, with all my heart, for You have forgiven me of so many things, Lord. Your love is unmeasurable. Thank You, Lord, for this time that we're able to remember You. Thank You for this time, Lord, that You give us to worship You. Does anyone want to speak out just one thing? I worship my King. Let's seal it by just singing that one line of, here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You are my God. Can we just do that? We're just going to seal this time with that.
Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that You're my God.
Hallelujah. We're going to get ready for our tithes and offerings.
All right, let's pray over this tithes and offering. It's a wonderful time to continue our praise, and this is a way to show the Lord how we love Him and praise Him. Mm-hmm. So, Father, we thank You for this opportunity to worship and praise You with our tithes and offerings. We ask that You would use this, multiply it, and just spread it forth through this community, through this region, through this country, and to all ends of the world, that it may help spread Your word of salvation. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You. This is Yours. We present this to You, Lord God, Your tithes and our offerings. We thank You and praise You for Your blessings upon every part of obedience, which includes Your tithes and our offerings, Lord. We thank You and praise You that even 10% of the non-designated tithes and offerings go to Foursquare, which part of it helps with missions around the world. We thank You and praise You, Lord God, that we desiring to be a light here in this community and way beyond, that is what part of this will be used for. For Lord, You know that our desire is to be well-pleasing to You in all areas, whether seen or unseen by others. So we present this to You to be used with the highest, utmost integrity, well-pleasing to You, for Your glory, for Your honor. We thank You and praise You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Share with you about Randy Clark is coming to Tucson. Many of you know of Randy Clark, and he will be at many of you know it as the Tucson Area Christian Fellowship Church, which is near Reed Park, but has now changed their church name to the Passion Church. But they are going to be hosting the School of Healing and Impartation at their church on January 9th through the 11th. It says 9th through the 12th, but actually what they mean by that, and then they put in parentheses, is Randy Clark will be a guest speaker at their church services on the 12th. I don't know if they'll have an evening service. I don't know about that, but I know he's supposed to be a guest speaker there. But on January 9th, 10th, and 11th, they have the schooling. One thing to take note is 7 o'clock is free to everybody. They are limited on the space for 300. I have flyers for y'all. So if you want to take a flyer, I have flyers for you to be able to grasp. And on the back of the flyer, it tells a little bit about how even Randy Clark, as a pastor, was moved into it. I have 7, so like, you know, see if anybody's interested. And I know Pastor Janet and I are going to be going. And but if anybody wants to go, maybe we could carpool together. But I just really recommend. Now it's $100 for this schooling. But remember, 7 o'clock in the evenings is free. Children 18 and under are free. I can't remember if they get a book or not, or you could purchase the book. There's going to be extra curriculum books there. But I've heard nothing but good about the teaching that comes through this. So you might want to hear. He is the one that, where the Lord, he was a pastor, and then the Lord started moving on him, a small little town pastor, and he was at the Toronto Airport, I think, called Christian Church, and a big revival started. He was only supposed to be there 4 days, 4 months, and then what happened was now his ministry and Global Awakening, and so he is Foursquare. I was talking to him at the Eagles Forum. I happened to be blessed to sit next to him, and he was telling me when he found out that I was a Foursquare pastor that he's really working big time with them in Brazil, and they're seeing many awesome things. The door has really opened with Global Awakening and the Brazilian Foursquare churches working together, and so it's really exciting to hear some of the testimonies that have come through this. Yeah.
Chris and I have both been to Randy Clark's teaching. It is well worth it. This is a church. Pathway is a church of healing. He teaches us how to activate that gift. We have that gift. Doesn't mean we've activated the gift yet, but we have it. We're anointed for it. I recommend it very, very much.
When we were there, we witnessed a healing of the daughter of one of the pastors of Casas. This was, 3 years ago, 4 years ago? She had mental disease, and she had pulled in to the point where she wasn't talking to anyone. She was in bed in a fetal position. Her parents were just, you know, how do we leave her alone ever, that kind of thing. And while the teaching was going on, the pastor got the word centurion. And he said, huh. And Randy Clark said, there's healing here, grab a hold of it. And the Lord said, grab a hold of it. And he did. That girl was healed. She came to the service the next day. She was perfectly normal. And I just, my thought was, oh, this is going to break Cassis open, you know. It didn't, but that girl was healed. I mean, totally. She came in, she spoke. I mean, it was phenomenal. And there were other healings, but that one I remember because when I was healed, there wasn't like someone prayed over me and I was healed. It was during a service. And someone else took the healing for me and then gave it to me and said, you know, you were healed at the service. You know, so he does it in all different ways, but Randy Clark is phenomenal.
I was at that meeting, and for some reason, Chris and I were late, or we came in late, or were standing waiting to get in, and a man came in who needed a liver transplant, and God said, go heal him. I went, I laid hands on him, I prayed over him, and then I just, you know, left it. The next day, he came back to the meeting and said, I no longer need a liver transplant. Wow.
we had the pleasure of meeting several of the staff with Global Awakening there and talking to them, very humble men and women of God, and even Randy Clark, very humble, and just really neat, no pride. It's all for God's glory and for the kingdom work for the Lord. So I really, if you can at all, any way, shape, or form, attend this, I really recommend the full thing, but if you can't do the full thing, then please at least see if you can't make it to the 7 o'clock services. But I really, because we are a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And so I just really, you know, just want to encourage you. If I need to make more flyers, I'll make more flyers, and I'll have them for next week. But please, you know, just want to encourage you. Okay? So thank you. Paul? I'm going to ask you really quick. I would like you to do a special prayer over the message right now before I get into the message. Was that worship just incredible? I couldn't stop crying. Wow, it was good crying, you know.
This wasn't on my program.
I know that. I really want us to...
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just pray over this message, Lord, that you would just bless it to each one of us, that you would open our hearts and minds to receive it. We pray for your special anointing to be on our pastor, and that you would just speak through her, and that she would bring forth the word in just a new way, a revealing way, a way that will stay with us for the rest of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somebody get my cough drops and my glasses on the chair. I accidentally left them there. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know I need these cough drops. They're helping me right now. At least I'm not chewing gum. So I tried to do that. Remember that one time Paul says, no, it was, you were trying it. I was like, okay, all right, then I'll do this cough drop thing, you know. So I was trying not to, but it was coming out. Right now, I just want you to listen to this. And yesterday at the women's vintage Christmas party, somebody asked, what is the Christmas story? I think it was you, Debbie, huh? And I said, in the scriptures, and I said, Luke 1 and 2. And then Evelyn goes, no, Luke 2. And I go, well, to me, it's Luke 1 and 2. Because I love to see the beginning of where it all started. The miracles that happened. Of John the Baptist being the one in the womb, rejoicing when in the womb of Elizabeth, when Mary comes with Jesus in her womb. And I love the miracles and what all happened. And so I want you to just listen to this. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this time. I enjoyed that. We read part of it from the New Living Translation yesterday, and I had the New King James Version. Do you like that? New King James Version. Yeah. So, which I often, you know, do my Bible reading and everything and go to the New King James Version, but, you know, I also like the Amplified, and I like a lot of different versions. But I enjoyed that one, and I was reading from the New Living Translation. I have one called the Sanctuary Bible, and I love that, and the title, and that's near my bed, and so sometimes I'll go to that, but I was reading it, and I go, wow, and then I found out that was the version Pastor DeBee Evelyn asked me to read from, but I want you to hear Luke chapter 1, all of Luke chapter 1, and chapter 2 through 1, verses 1 through 38. Many people have set out to write accounts about the events that have been fulfilled among us. They use the eyewitness reports circulating among us from the early disciples. Having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write a careful account for you, most honorable Theophilus, so you can be certain of the truth of everything you were taught. Now remember, this is Dr. Luke, you know, writing this. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. And his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. It was his assignment for that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." I'm going to repeat that. "For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord." He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth. And he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." The angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife, Elizabeth, became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." In the 6th month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great, and we will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren. People used to say she was barren. But she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. A few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea, to the town where Zechariah lived. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. At the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth gave a glad cry and exclaimed to Mary, "God has blessed you above all women, and your child is blessed. Why am I so honored that the mother of my Lord should visit me? When I heard your greeting, the baby in my womb jumped for joy. You are blessed because you believed that the Lord would do what he said." Mary responded, "Oh, my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful. For he made this promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary stayed with Elizabeth about 3 months and then went back to her own home. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father. But Elizabeth said, "No, his name is John." "What?" they exclaimed. "There is no one in all your family by that name." So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet, and to everyone's surprise, he wrote, "His name is John." And then instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. Awe fell upon the whole neighborhood, and the news of what had happened spread throughout the Judean hills. Go tell it on the mountain. Everyone who heard about it reflected on these events and asked, "What will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was surely upon him in a special way. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised. Through his holy prophets long ago, now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor, Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You, John, will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light. To give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide us to the path of peace. John grew up and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the wilderness until he began his public ministry to Israel. Luke 2. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for this census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, but they were glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Amen. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Then it was time for their purification offering, as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. The law of the Lord says if a woman's first child is a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord, as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace. As you have promised, I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul." Anna, the prophet, a prophet, was also there in the temple. She was the daughter of Penuel from the tribe of Asher, and she was very old. Her husband died when they had been married only 7 years. Then she lived as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but stayed there day and night, worshiping God with fasting and prayer. She came along just as Simeon was talking with Mary and Joseph, and she began praising God. She talked about the child to everyone who had been waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. Do you hear the miracles? Do you hear the fulfillment of what God has spoken and the various ways God spoke to them? We hear, see it of the angel Gabriel, had a big role in it, but to Anna, to Simeon, different ways, but God still fulfilled. With Anna, some of them say she had been a widow for 84 years, so they're not clear on which one, if she was 84, if she had been a widow for 84, but in other words, she was older. Whether she was closer to 100 or whether she was 84, it's still older. And since being a widow, she was serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord. One of the translations, the version says serving the Lord with fasting and prayer. And then once she saw it, what was she doing? She was excitingly telling everybody about it. Everybody that was waiting expectantly for God to rescue Jerusalem. As the times get tough in this world, in this area, and 2014 is going to bring many challenges, and many are going to need that rescue, that healing, ministering, delivering, freeing power of the Lord. And they will receive it if they are willing to receive it. But how will they know unless we tell them? So we need to seek the opportunities as we're seeking the Lord and praying and asking him, Lord, present these opportunities for us to be able to, divine appointments for us to be able to be able to share with others about the hope that is only through Jesus Christ. We can show them that pathway of hope, who is Jesus, the pathway of hope, which is his truth, the pathway of hope of the one who brings all healing, physically, mentally, and of course along with spiritually, the soul being saved forever, the eternity of that home being heaven, not hell, that heavenly body, that promise of when we are absent from this body, we will be present with the Lord. That promise that helps in all areas of our lives. But I love what Luke 1:65 says in the King James Version. And fear came on all that dwelt round about them. And all these things were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. Go tell it on the mountain. We are on a mountain right here. That Jesus Christ was born. The gift of salvation to everybody was born to take that sacrifice, knowing that the destination of leaving heaven, to take on being fully God, fully human, to take on then, as he grew up, the torture and the torment of people, and then carrying everybody's sins, the weight of everybody's sins on the cross with him, and then dying on that cross on Calvary, his body broken, his blood was shed for each and every one of us. That was that gift that was born. And we call it Christmas morn. Now many know it probably wasn't December. But just as Sharon that was at church in Hayward, she was adopted from an orphanage, a Korean orphanage. Her parents adopted several children from different nationalities. And so they didn't know when her birthday was. So she picked a birthday, and then she celebrated. They guessed about how old she was, and then I remember her saying that. Well, we don't know exactly when Christ was born. And some people don't even want to celebrate Christmas at all because of that. Yes, Hallmark and other things have really done a play on Christmas. But we can keep that meaning true and pure in our hearts if we continue to look at the reason. But truly, Christmas should be every single day of the year, celebrating the birth of Christ at the same time celebrating the death and resurrection of Christ. Each and every day we should be celebrating, quote, Christmas, unquote, and, quote, Easter, unquote. Which some people don't like to say the word Easter because of what that represents. Okay, then say Resurrection Sunday. But in other words, you are celebrating what they mean. If you don't want to say Christmas, celebrate the birth of Christ every day and celebrate what he did for us, dying at Calvary and rising again 3 days later, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God for each and every one of us so that when we pray, he hears our prayers. And they are never not heard. He hears them. And he sees the heart. And he's the one that is looking around to help each and every one, strongly supporting those whose hearts are dedicated to him. We see that they were chosen because they were righteous. They were had hearts wanting, being human, imperfect, but wanting to obey God.
wanting to lovingly serve him. These people that were chosen. And the word was fulfilled. God sees our hearts and sees, are we truly dedicated to him? Are we truly all his? Do we really care about those that we see each and every day and those loved ones that we love that aren't saved? Are we dedicating our lives to praying for them and seeking God on their behalf? Praying that maybe God will bring somebody else, because sometimes you're not the one, but the power of your prayers is moving in the spiritual realm to prepare their hearts to receive the right person to be the one to bring salvation to them. Or the ones that are Christians that are maybe either backslidden, maybe even apostatized. Those that need to return to having Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Their master, being encouraged as they struggle through the trials and tribulations that are in this earth. Maybe some are being attacked and they need Jesus' redemptive power and restoration power to be relevant in their lives. Maybe they've made a major mistake and they're needing to go to the Lord and repent and needing that encouragement that he knows and understands, and his love is there for them, full of mercy and grace and forgiveness for them. This is why Jesus was born, and this is why we want to help others. We want the blind to see, to know the truth and be set free. We want to help the captives to be set free, just as we were. And that is our job. This is our assignment. We see many assignments that they had. And then he will be a joy to many. He will be a joy to many. He will. We will turn our hearts to him. We see so many promises being fulfilled, words being fulfilled. And this word, as you receive it, it will be fulfilled when God speaks to you. Just as Pathway of Hope. When will this be that we will have that building and we will be a large church? I don't know. But I know that many have seen it. And we need to seek him to be ready for that increase when it happens. And that we are willing to receive everybody that God sends our way. To receive the unlovable as God works on them. As he is continuing to do so on us, because not one of us is perfect. To be filled with that love and that unity. To rejoice when God is doing special things in their lives. To help us to use the gifts and talents as they are manifested more and more through each one of us, and using them for his glory here at Pathway of Hope, and encouraging each other to use it when you're not here. And when you're not doing ministry outside of here for Pathway of Hope, you're doing it for the Lord. Everything that you do should be as if unto the Lord. Yes. So we are to encourage one another. And that is what we're here for. That is what our church is called to be. She, Anna, bears witness. She served. She worshiped God with fastings and prayers, night and day. And in that instant, when she saw Jesus, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Well, here we are in close alignment to Jerusalem. And we are here praying for Israel, but we are praying also for Catalina, for Tucson, for Pima and Pinal counties, for the state of Arizona, for the country, our country that God has blessed us to be in, the United States, and for the world that needs Jesus. Many of you have heard of Bob Jones, the prophet, and he was saying, we need to get to that point again. God is saying, I will work in a mighty way. But the people have to humble themselves and seek me and pray. And we are not doing it. Some are, but we need to join more and more powerfully to do so for our country. We need a spiritual and moral revival and an awakening, and it won't come until they receive the love and the power of that love through Jesus. The leaders and those in roles and important positions need Jesus to help them, let alone each and every person. But the leaders have special positions that God has allowed them to be in. We need to pray for them, each and every one. And we need to not forget, we are a house of prayer. We are a house of healings. We are a salvation center. But are we serving him with fastings and prayer? 1 Timothy chapter 5 talks about helping the widows, but it talks about that it's a blessing for family members, for children and grandchildren to help the widows. And that we are to encourage that. That is your way to bless them for them giving to you. So we are supposed to do that. But he says, of those that truly are widows, then the church needs to help those. Have nobody, no relative whatsoever to help. Then the church is to help. No child, no grandchild, no relative that is there to be able to help. The church is to be able to help. But one thing that it shows in this is a widow who is seeking God. 1 Timothy chapter 5 verse 5 says, now she who is a widow indeed and who has been left alone, no family, has fixed her hope on God and continues entreaties and prayers night and day. Perseveres in supplications and prayers night and day, amplified. God answers those prayers. And it is my desire that Pathway of Hope will be that church that can help those who are truly widows. Those who are seeking the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, but they have nobody else. And that Pathway of Hope will be there for them. No family, no relative whatsoever that can help. But we need to be that church that can bring that hope and help to them. Most blessed is the man, and I added, and woman, who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. All who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. We are joint heirs of God. But are we really truly his? Are we really truly wanting to seek him? Are we really truly? I know I need to improve on this. Are we his, totally seeking him? Because we care about each and every one, us here, those that are Christians, and those that aren't, that need Jesus so badly. Are we seeking him because he will be there to help us? We need to trust him and rely on him and depend on him, for our hope and our confidence is him, is totally him. And we will be led by the Holy Spirit because we won't be grieving or quenching him in any way. Acts 13:3 says, then they fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and they sent them away. When they had appointed elders in Acts 14:23 for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. We see that prayer and fasting is very important. And Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah prays for his people. He has a grief for the exiles. He is praying for God's people. His heart is broken. And I want you to hear this. Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of, I can't pronounce that word, H-A-C-H-A-L-I-A-H. It came to pass in the month of Chislev, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the citadel,
The Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. There are many lives here in Catalina and Tucson and around whose lives are in major distress or in reproach. They're broken down. Their defenses are broken down. Their hearts are broken down. Their willpower is broken down. Their bodies are broken down. Their finances are broken down. Their family are broken down. Their businesses are broken down, etc. So it was, when I heard these words, that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And I said, I praise him and recognize and acclaim and yield to the Holy Spirit, the Lord God of heaven. Oh, great and awesome God, you who keep your covenant and mercy with those who love you and observe your commandments, please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night, for the children of Israel, for those in Catalina, in Tucson, in Arizona, in the United States, in Israel, in the world. Lord, I come to you and I pray. I am your servant, and I come to you. Hear my prayer for your servant. Hear my prayer, for I come to you, and I confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you, just as we need to confess, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, we need to confess for the sins of those in the United States. Both my father's house and I have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statutes, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. Remember, I pray, the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the nations. But if you return to me and keep my commandments and do them, though some of you were cast out to the farthest part of the heavens, yet I will gather them from there and bring them to the place which I have chosen as a dwelling for my name. They will bring them to Pathway of Hope. God will guide and direct those through the Holy Spirit to Pathway of Hope and to other churches who love him, who truly are devoted to him, who truly care about each and every one with his love, full of his mercy and grace, and wanting to speak and teach and preach and his truth uncompromisingly, but filled with his love, his mercy, and his grace. Now these are your servants and your people, whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. Oh Lord, I pray, please let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to fear your name, and let your servant prosper this day. I pray and grant him mercy in the sight of this man. He was the king's cupbearer, and he was going to go before the king, saying, can I go and help? Praying and fasting. I truly believe this is our assignment. Something, assignment is a noun. Something assigned as a particular task or duty, a position of responsibility, a post of duty, or the like, to which one is appointed. An act of appointment, an act of being assigned. The transference of a right. We have been given the riches of our Heavenly Father through and by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, for his purposes,
for his glory. And he loves each and every one. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And he wants his sons and daughters to truly love him with all their heart, mind, soul, strength, everything that they have. He wants them to be sold out for him. He wants them to be doing his perfect will for each and every one individually, using the gifts and the talents, the mantles that God has given each one for his glory. And that is what Pathway of Hope is one of those churches here in the United States that is one that is listening to God and being obedient and encouraging all to do the same. That is what our assignment is. It is a position. We have a post. We have an office that God has been given to us, given by his authority. Some of the synonyms: task, work, job, charge, position, post, commission, exercise, responsibility, duty, mission, appointment, an undertaking, an occupation. This is our appointment. This is the designation, the delegation that God has given us, each and every one of us, to seek him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit. Horace Greeley said, "It is impossible to enslave mentally or socially a Bible reading people. The principles of the Bible are the groundwork of human freedom." As we go to this word, we will be filled with the way, the truth, and the life. For whom he sets free is free indeed. And as we seek this, we not only will be more and more receiving more and more freedom and released more and more into what he's called us to be, seeing the manifestation of what he's already put in us to be brought out for his glory, for his perfect timing. God has an assignment for each and every one of us. And that assignment is going to come in the sense that he is asking Pathway of Hope to set aside some sacrificial time of prayer and fasting for 24 days. We will start this on January 6th, Monday, and it will go through January 29th, Wednesday. I felt like I was seeing and looking about fasting as I was researching this. God, how many days? Some you hear a lot of 21 days or 40 days when it's an extended one. But I was getting 24, and I go, why am I getting 24? And I don't know, but I looked up because God likes speaks to me in numbers sometimes. And well, three is divine completeness or perfection, but and then there's other meanings, but. And then eight, we all know, is new beginnings. But 24 also is being a multiple of 12. And it is the number associated with heavenly government and worship, of which the earthly form is Israel. In Israel was only a copy. We are told that both Moses and David ordered all things connected with the tabernacle and the temple worship by direct revelation from God, as a copy of things in the heavens. I truly believe that in January, we've got some awesome things going during that time. We will have the School of Healing, Randy Clark here in Tucson. We will have the Start the Year Off Right by Bridge Builders. We will have, and then later we have the leadership development, but that's after our time. But we will have two big things. It's our year. You know how September is the Jewish calendar year, the beginning of the year. But our year for us, God knows that. He knows what calendar we're on. And he knows that we're going by, okay, January is the first, month of 2014 for us. He knows that. And for us in 2014, God, what do you want for Pathway of Hope? What do you want for me individually? What do you want for me as part of the body of Christ? What do you want? And we will be seeking him together. We will be sharing with each other on what God is giving each of us. And we will be listening to what God is saying to each of us. But it's going to take hearts that are truly devoted to truly taking sacrificial time of prayer and sacrificial time of fasting. I am asking you in these next 4 weeks to pray to God. Because in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 12, it says, ears that hear and eyes that see, the Lord has made them both. The NLT says, ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. The Good News Bible says, the Lord has given us eyes to see with and ears to hear with. And the CEV says, hearing and seeing are gifts from the Lord. So in a little bit, we're going to be remembering our Lord, what he's done and what we have through him. We have the Holy Spirit in us because of what he did for us at Calvary. So as we will be partaking in the Lord's Supper, this communion time with him, I will also ask each one of you to come up and take the elements. And then I will be standing right here and I'm going to anoint you with oil. That anointing will be, Lord, give each one ears to hear and eyes to see what you are speaking to them. And for right now, I want you to give them ears to hear and eyes to see in the beginning of what it is you want them to do, what you want them to do as far as setting time aside for that sacrificial prayer, and what it is you want them to do for that sacrificial fasting. Each one, it will be individually different. And I'm asking you to listen to the Lord, not working it out. Okay, well, I've got this going on and this going on. And okay, so like, I can fast football. I'll do that. I'll fast football games. Or I can fast my favorite program on TV. Or I'll fast chocolate. Or I'll fast, let's see, what do I not really like that much? Okay, green beans. I'll fast green beans for 24 days. No, I'm not asking you to work it out. I'm asking you to be open to the Lord. Saying, Lord, I truly care. I care for my family. I care for my loved ones. I care for Pathway of Hope. I care for the body of Christ. I care for Catalina and Saddlebrook and Oral Valley. I care for this county and Pinal County and Pima County because we're so close together. I care for this state. I care for this country. I care for Israel. And I care for the world. I am part of your body, Lord God, the body of Christ. And I want your kingdom work for your glory to be done in and through me. So, Lord, speak to me. What do you want me to do to sacrificially take that time of 24 days to pray and to fast? For I feel that he will give you that divine, complete new beginnings of new insight and revelation. I have not seen, ear has not heard what the Lord has for those who truly love him. It is above and beyond what anything you could think or imagine. The manger scene, slide 61, shows that manger. It shows the cloth. It shows the crown of thorns, but it shows the word. When you are in prayer and fasting, seek the word. Seek him and allow him to speak to you. For this is part of the gift of his presence to each and every one of us. When you are in this, you are in his presence. And he's speaking to you. For he has plans and purposes for each and every one of us.
But he has plans and purposes for those that he cares for. Pathway of Hope, and the next slide shows that we will be given keys for to open doors for not only ourselves, but for others. God will show us. He is the key because of the power of the cross. And we will help set the captives free. We will be on fire for him and for his glory. And we will burn brighter and brighter for him. And as we go into Isaiah 62, we will be given guidance and direction this year as he has told us to look to. He will continue because we are, remember, a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. And it will be all to his glory. For he is the one who is the miracle worker. We just need to believe in him. We need to believe as we open up this Bible, it is the living word of God, and he will speak to us. We need to expect miracles when we are in this Bible because it has the power of the cross upon it. We need to open up this Bible knowing that a light bulb will go on, and he will enlighten to us what he is speaking to each one of us. For as we receive this light bulb, it'll be boing, and it'll help us build up, strengthening us spiritually and physically, emotionally. And we will have that joy and that happiness and rejoice with others. But we need to receive this word and receive it as that sword, and it will be penetrating to us as it did to Mary. That word will help us to reveal the thoughts and intents of others because God cares about those. He is, Jesus is that bridge that helps those who are perishing. And Pathway of Hope is a spirit-filled church that will help others to show them, to help pull them up and to show them the way. And as we go to this time of prayer and fasting, and as we are seeking God, our eyes will be opened. Whoa, no way. You're saying that as we receive this word. And it will just be a whirlwind of his revelation and insight to each one of us. So that we can be like a neon light in the darkness speaking his truth. And the people will be set free. For many, many will be by the truth that we are carrying and believing, their chains will be broken because we will be carrying the power of the cross to others, telling them of the truth. For in this world, it is full of bad news. But our only hope is the good news. And we will be speaking as a big sign here at Pathway of Hope and wherever we go. And others will go, no way! That's what the word is saying, because we will be speaking what Jesus is telling us. Our mouths will be surrendered to him and we will be his servants. And then those people will see the truth and their chains will be broken. They will see the freedom of Christ. So we here at Pathway of Hope need to pray, watch, look, and listen. And as we are doing that, we are in the word of God, the living word of God. Prayer and fasting, 2014. Fasting breaks the chains. It's like a fist punching through in the spiritual realm of darkness. So while you're praying and fasting, take your plate, your knife, your spoon, your fork, but have that word there. And saying, okay, Lord, I thank you and praise you. I'm going to feed on this word while I'm doing this sacrificial time of prayer and fasting. Sorry. So Pathway of Hope is a house of prayer, healings, and salvation center. We will burn brighter. We will be praying for everyone. We will have, as we pray and fast, that magnifying glass that will have the love shown onto the word, punching through and breaking through, using the power of the cross as we receive his light. But we have eyes that are looking to him, ears that are listening, eyes that are seeing, as we expect the miracles and the breakthrough in the lives of those we care and love, and for each and every one that we come in contact with.
and for all that we don't know. Because we care, we have the love of the Lord. So I'm asking you to pray, watch, look, and listen. And fast. So let us take time to remember what he did for each and every one of us. I want you right now to prepare your hearts for this time of the Lord's Supper. I want you to prepare your hearts to receive this anointing, for he will give you a new, fresh way of hearing him and seeing him. He will help you to truly see and hear what he has to speak to you as you seek what he wants you to do and as he continues to reveal to you his plan and purpose for you individually and for Pathway of Hope, for the body of Christ, for his church. I want you to take this time, examine yourself. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal anything that you need to repent of. And I want you to repent and seek the Holy Spirit to be totally ready to receive what he has for you. Do? No? Yes, now I am. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you to just come and get the elements and then take them back to your seat. And then I will anoint you after you get the elements. Come right by here before you sit back down so I can anoint you. And remember what that means. So you to hear and see what the Lord is saying to you. On seeking him first of all, on what he is wanting you to do, to sacrificially take time for prayer and fasting, January 6th through January 29th. And then if he reveals anything to you before that time, or wants you to do even more of an extended fasting prayer, you be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. I know as a church family, he is asking us to do it January 6th through the 29th, 24 days. But obviously, we should be doing prayer and fasting other times whenever the Holy Spirit leads us. So that's what you'll be receiving when I anoint you. And then I want us to go back, sit down, and then we will all partake together of the Lord's Supper. Okay? All right. Thank you. If you can come up. Barbara, do you?
Your love, oh Lord, reaches to the heavens. Your faithfulness,
eyes to see and ears to hear,
stretches to the sky.
To hear what the Spirit has to say. Increase. Amen. Increase.
yours.
Eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Increase.
Amen. Reaches to the heavens.
I've got to say it in the Spirit. So eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit has to say.
Your faithfulness stretches to the skies. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Your justice flows like
the
ocean
and ears to hear what the Spirit has to say. Increase.
And I
Amen.
Will lift my voice to worship you, my King. And I will find my strength in the shadow of your
matter. I just said them both. Do I have my mic on? I do. Okay. So you know how I like to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And in verse 23, it says that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord, for what you did for each of us. Let us partake together. Thank you, Jesus. And in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for each and every one of us. We thank you that we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. We thank you that we are washed whiter than snow. We thank you, Lord, that by your stripes we are healed. Thank you and praise you. Let us partake together. Remember our prayer ministry. So please, at the end, I'm going to do the prayer benediction, but at the end, we're going to do some worship. And you can either go if you need to go, but if you can, stay. Remember that this is a special time of ministry where breakthroughs can happen, where healings and deliverances can happen. Others, godly Christian men and women, your brother and sister in the Lord that are praying for you and joining with the power of prayer, for whatever it is that you're praying about. If not, if you can stay, then stay here and then just worship the Lord and thank him for what he has given you. Praise him and thank him. I will say this prayer benediction and then we will do the worship. Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 and 26. Lord God, I come before you and I declare, proclaim for each and every one here present and each and one, everyone who listens to this. Lord, may you bless each one. May you watch over each one, guard each one and keep each one. May you, Lord, make your face to shine upon and enlighten each one and be gracious, kind, merciful, and giving favor unto each and every one. May you, Lord, lift up your approving countenance upon each one and give them your peace, the peace that surpasses all understanding, to guard each one's hearts and minds in Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, for the peace that Jesus gives is not like the world gives. We thank you and praise you for that wonderful peace. We also thank you and praise you for the power of prayer. Bless this time of prayer altar ministry. Bless this time of worship, Lord. And may we walk in the power of worship and serving you, Lord God, lovingly, for you, our God Almighty. Thank you, Lord. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.